I love that song and the picture that it paints in my mind about God's love. How wonderful. And we can't even measure it. It's so great. And my prayer tonight is that our lesson will, or just the commands that we're given as women, that we'll be able to do them because of our love for the Lord, because His love for us is so great. Let me just go ahead and start, and then we'll go from there. Father, I just thank you for the time tonight to study your word and to reflect on your love. And Lord, we are commanded as women, especially those of us who are married, to submit to our husbands, to love them, and also just to respect them. And Lord, we need your help to do that. And I'm the teacher, but Lord, that doesn't mean that I've arrived. And I just pray that this lesson would be meaningful to each one of us. And Lord, that you would put it on our hearts. Lord, I just thank you that you are with us tonight. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless our time together. And we just ask this in your name. Amen. Our author, Lisa Hughes, starts out chapter 11 remembering the vows that she made to her husband. And I'm not sure I can even find our exact vows that David and I made to each other on February 23rd, 1991. And if you're doing the math, that's 35 years ago last month. And I do know of a song that my brother-in-law sang, and it's called "Find Us Faithful." Do you remember that song? The first stanza of the lyrics goes like this: "We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who have gone before us lined the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace." Yes, we have seen God's sustaining grace in the generations before us, and He is sustaining us even now, as David had surgery earlier this month. Well, you know, if there is a relationship that is fraught with expectations, it is the marriage relationship. And you know what? David and I found that out even before we were married. We needed bedroom furniture, and so I went to an estate sale and I purchased a bedroom set, sight unseen by him. But I felt pretty good. There was a bed, there was a dresser, there was a chest of drawers, there was a nightstand. And you know, we decided that he would pick it up later in the day. And that evening we saw each other and he seemed kind of quiet. And I asked him what he thought of the bedroom set, and he says, "It looks old." And I said, "Well, that's why I like it." And you know, some of our expectations are laughable, just like the one that I told you about, but some of them loom large in our minds. And how do we deal with those expectations that remain unmet even after many years? First, we look at our own hearts, asking the Lord to help us to apply Ephesians 5:33, where it says, "And let the wife see that she respects her husband." And as we remember God's promises and pray, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can honor our husbands according to the vows that we made before God. The challenge of marriage. No matter the length of a marriage, each one has unmet expectations. Some unmet expectations may be for a short duration, whereas some may stretch on for years. And sometimes our hope for change may dwindle as the years go by. And you know, The Lord doesn't want us to live in a constant state of hopelessness, but pursuing hope leaves us with a choice. Here I will quote our author, "Will the disappointment, frustration, or regret from unmet expectations in marriage so enslave us that breaking free of those expectations seem impossible? Or will those same feelings of disappointment, frustration, or regret propel us to the Lord in prayer to study the scriptures and accept our circumstances as part of God's plan to produce spiritual growth in us?" Well, you know, I think most of us have probably been on social media, and maybe we look around at church and it seems like there's a lot of good marriages around us. And, you know, you start thinking, does everybody else live in a trouble-free zone? I can't say that we do, because all of married couples experience misunderstandings, disappointment, and hurt at times. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7:28 says, "Those who marry will have worldly troubles." And that's why we make our vows to keep loving each other, both in the difficult times and the good. Though we may have secret thoughts of hoping this chapter will change our mate, the truth is we have to look at our own hearts first and ask the hard questions. Am I living in obedience to God's word? Am I dealing with my unmet expectations and the sinful responses those expectations produce? Learning from Abigail, a real-life Bible woman, we get a glimpse into the marriage of Abigail and her husband Nabal in 1 Samuel 25. We find in the first verses of that chapter that Nabal is very rich, yet harsh and badly behaved. Abigail, on the other hand, is described as being discerning and very beautiful. Most likely, back in those days, they probably had an arranged marriage. And then we have David entering into the picture, and he's in the wilderness with his men, and they're guarding Nabal's livestock. And, you know, David asked Nabal if he can have some food on behalf of his men. And Nabal just acts like he doesn't even know David, and he refuses to give him any food. And you can imagine how this made David feel. It kind of got his dander up. And he's about ready to kill Nabal when Nabal's wife Abigail got word of the situation, and she quickly made provisions to remedy the situation. And with her discernment and quick thinking, her household was saved from destruction. And later, when Nabal finds out how close he was to being killed by David, in verse 37, it says, "His heart died within him, and he became as a stone." Living with a man like Nabal would have been very difficult, and thinking well of him would have been a constant challenge. And then we have another one. We have Sarah, another real-life Bible woman. She was married to Abraham, and he is actually mentioned twice in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. But Abraham was not without his weaknesses. We find him in Genesis 12 asking Sarah to say that she was his sister, which was somewhat true, as she was his half-sister. And then again in chapter 20, we find Abraham identifying her as his sister in a similar situation. And at the top of his mind was protecting his own skin. And as a result of that, Sarah was taken into the harem of two pagan kings. Miraculously, the Lord intervened and protected Sarah in both of those situations. Do you think it would have been difficult to trust your husband when he had betrayed you and allowed you to be put in what could have been a compromising situation? You know what? We may not find ourselves in the same situations as Abigail or Sarah, but I think there's probably times where each of us feels insecure, unprotected, or unloved by our husbands at other times. It can be difficult to show respect that the Lord requires. Again, the reminder in Ephesians 5:33b, let the wife see that she respects her husband. When unmet expectations are added to the marriage mix, some may struggle to respect their husbands, while others may find respecting their husbands to be almost effortless. Whatever the situation, if it is a command given in Scripture, we are expected to obey it. In our obedience, His grace is sufficient, as we find in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Here I quote our author. The Bible teaches us that even if a woman is married to an unbeliever, or a man who is disobedient to the word, or one who is prone to making foolish decisions in leading his family, or a spouse who never seems to gain victory over his sin, the command remains. And even if your husband is like Jesus and maybe as close to perfection as they can get, you can still struggle to show him respect because of your own sin and weakness. Sometimes, as a woman, you just want control in your home. Have you ever heard the saying, happy wife, happy life? Yeah, you want what you want and won't be happy until you get it. And that can mean sometimes just running right over your husband, even a godly and gracious one. We've encountered Proverbs 27:20 before in our study, and it says, Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, and never satisfied are the eyes of man. Though your husband may be nearly perfect, he doesn't stand a chance when it comes to your expectations. If you are using bitterness, anger, depression, disappointment, or selfishness to manipulate your husband, and I've been there before, you can be assured that this is not God's will. Turning from a sinful response to one that pleases God means trusting in His wisdom and His sovereignty for every detail of our lives. Turn to Ephesians 5, and starting at verse 22, we find wisdom and encouragement for our marriages. Verse 22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Our submission as a woman is not to all men, but only to our own husband. And just as our submission to Christ is motivated by love, because he first loved us, as we see in 1 John 4:19, our submission to our own husband is motivated by our love for Christ. If your husband asks you to do something immoral, since it would bring disgrace to Christ, you should not submit it to those requests. Our husbands have their own command in verse 25, which says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Following Christ's example, our husbands are to love us sacrificially. Verse 33 sums up the Christian marriage. However, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. It's pretty clear that we as wives are to respect our husbands. And you may be saying, wait a minute, I'm not even married. Why should I be listening to this or even reading our book? And I think Tim kind of covered it on Sunday too. And it's just a reminder from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. If the Lord should bring someone for you to share your life with, you are learning truths that you can apply later in your relationship. And if not, if you're single, you know what? You can encourage your married sisters in the Lord. Getting a handle on respect. What is respect anyways? Our author gave the definition from the English Oxford Living Dictionary, and it means to admire someone or something deeply as the result of their abilities, qualities, or achievements. She feels like the definition falls short because those admirable qualities we liked when we were dating somehow disappeared, or they were never there from the beginning. And even if this is true for your husband, this is not an excuse to get you off the hook. We are still commanded by God to respect our husband. The opposite of respect is contempt, which is defined as disrespect, disdain, scorn, or to consider worthless or beneath oneself. Respect isn't just putting up with the other person. So how do we find out what respect means? Let's spell it out. The best definition of respect comes from God's word. The Amplified Bible defines respect in Ephesians 5:33 in this way: and let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him. I kind of think about catching his eye across the room. She regards him. She honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. This is not just respecting the role. This is about respecting him as a person. In addition, we look at Titus 2:4. We are reminded to love our husbands. Love here is defined as phileo love, having a fondness or an affection for our husbands. I enjoy reminding David of a catchy tune, and it's really the only part that I remember etched in my mind from the 80s. And it says, "Your kiss is on my list." Do any of you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And anyways, sometimes when we're out walking, I'll just tug on his shirt and I'll tell him, "Honey, your kiss is on my list." And you know what? Who can resist that? So anyways, in respecting and liking our husbands, we as wives also are also told to submit to them in 1 Peter 3:1-2. Peter wrote, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct." To be subject to your husbands is to place ourselves under them, to yield to their leadership. Along with respect and a life of purity, God can use a believing wife to win a disobedient husband to the Lord. As Pastor Tim shared in his first marriage message on marriage, you are an up-close missionary to your spouse. What are the three commands for us wives to obey? Respect, like, and submit to our husbands. This calls for full engagement and commitment to our marriages. When respect seems nigh impossible, I don't even know if this is a word, but we may give a bajillion reasons why we shouldn't have to respect our husbands. And if we look at scripture closely, we can find no standards that our husband must meet in order to earn our respect. The problem therein lies with us and our own heart, not with our husbands and where they fall short of our expectations. So how do we move from hopelessness and possibly despair to respecting our husbands? You know, nothing is impossible with God. And though you may struggle with showing respect, don't give up. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 describes some of the hardships that he was going through. Yet in verse 9, he reminded the believers that God's grace was sufficient for him, and Christ's power was made perfect in his weakness. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can respect your husband. If you are intent on giving God glory in your circumstances, your motivation for respecting your husband is not based on his actions. The struggle with showing respect, which is really unbelief and disobedience, can change. As our author writes, your rescue begins with your repentance, just as it is with any other sin that you commit. If you turn to him, he will supply the help and grace you need. Romans 6, 17 and 18 encourages us with these words. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Don't we want to be slaves of righteousness and not of sin? God provides the help you need to obey. Here I will use our author's words. Whenever God gives a command, he always provides the resources and the ability to obey. Ultimately, it comes down to trusting the Lord. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. When you respect your husband, you are pleasing him as you exercise faith. The last part of that same verse says, he rewards those who seek him. You know what? You will have reward as you seek to respect your husband. And I just find that so encouraging. Second of all, God never intends for his commands to crush us under their weight. We are reminded of that in 1 John 5:3, where it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Your love for Christ, for God, who is working all things for your good, should be the motivator for respecting your husband. Third, no one is exempt from God's all-powerful, heart-searching, life-transforming word. The word of God is powerful to save, convict, encourage, and grow. One of the many verses our author shared is Jeremiah 23, 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? The Lord can even use it to save an unbelieving husband. Fourth, even with the Lord's help, there will be times when you will find it a challenge to respect your husband. Keep respecting him no matter what. Let your motivation be your love for Christ. The Lord will help us. Back to Sarah. and her example. What can we learn from her marriage to Abraham? Thankfully, we have her example recorded in Scripture to show us how to respect our husbands in challenging situations. But before we get started, we need to take a look at 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. In the first verse, we see the words, in the same way, or likewise. In the same way as what? What is Peter referring to? And that's where we have to go back to the end of chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, where it details how Jesus submitted to his heavenly Father in a very trying circumstance. Peter is pointing to Jesus as our example in how to live with our husbands. At the beginning of chapter 3, when he says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. The respectful and pure conduct of wives can be used by God to be a witness to their disobedient husbands. In addition, rather than focusing on our outward appearance, such as our hair, our jewelry, our clothing, Peter encourages us as wives, really all women, to let our adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. The Lord wants us to focus more on our hearts than on our appearance. Moving on to verses 5 and 6 of 1 Peter 3, we find this reality in Sarah's life. You know, you remember, she was a very beautiful woman. And yet it says, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. The last phrase of this verse, do not fear anything that is frightening, suggests that Sarah found herself in a very fearful situation. Remember that Abraham instructed Sarah to tell two pagan kings that she was his sister and not his wife to save his own skin. Certainly, Sarah must have felt apprehensive as she obeyed Abraham in order to save his life. Both times, God rescued her in spite of her husband's disobedience. Sarah is an example to us today because she trusted the Lord in a very difficult circumstance. And when we as wives keep our eyes on the Lord in an extreme situation, our submission is all that more precious to the Lord. A couple of comments on Sarah's submission. When we think of Sarah's submission to Abraham in a compromising situation, it is helpful to remember that she didn't have a Bible like we have today. She did the best she could with what she knew about God. Also, this is not a call for unconditional submission. Basically, it's an example of Sarah trusting God in a very difficult situation, in the same way that Jesus submitted himself to his heavenly Father when he suffered under the unkind and unjust dealings of men in 1 Peter 2. Five takeaways from Sarah's submission. Here, I'll just let you read about it in the book. It's pages 177 to 178. And then in 1 Peter 4:19, Peter encourages us to persevere through unjust suffering with these words, Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. We see in Sarah the example of entrusting herself to the Lord as she respected Abraham in a frightening situation. And we also see that with God, all things are possible. You know what? We're not alone in this pursuit of respecting our husbands. The Holy Spirit provides the help that we need to obey, or that you need to obey. We not only have the example of Sarah in Scripture, but we also have the Holy Spirit living within us as believing women to help us in our obedience. Paul in Ephesians 3:16 prays that the Ephesian believers would be strengthened with power through his Spirit in their inner being. Not just a small amount of power, but as the first part of that same verse says, according to his riches in glory. Isn't that amazing? In addition, when we pray in our weakness, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit knows how to pray, and he is our helper even as we may struggle to submit to our husbands. Jesus, as well as God, provides the help you need to obey. We can show respect to our husbands because in addition to the Holy Spirit, both Jesus and God come alongside to help us. In Hebrews 2:18, it says, "For because he himself," meaning Jesus, "has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Moreover, we may not even have the will to submit or to respect our husbands. Have you ever felt that way? It's like, I don't want to do this. I know I've been there, but Philippians 2:13 reminds us it is God who works in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He can change our will. We just have to ask him. Think of it. We have the Godhead. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God the Father, and we have the Son helping us to obey his commands, that of submitting to and respecting our husbands. We also have the Scriptures to help us obey when we're submitting and respecting our husbands. When we're tempted to stiffen our necks or even complain under our husband's leadership, bringing to mind God's promises will help us endure. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but will, with the temptation, provide the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Consider ways your husband may annoy you or even hurt your feelings. What are you tempted to do? Give him a piece of your mind? Yeah, I would say, or become sullen or withdrawn, or even give another sinful response. I think we can all say that we've been there. Though you may be tempted, you can still obey. The Lord is faithful to answer when we call out to him for help. He has promised a way of escape in 1 Corinthians 10:13. That doesn't necessarily mean that he gives you a way to escape from your circumstances, as our author says. Rather, the Lord does give you a way to escape the temptation to respond in an ungodly way. You ever prayed a prayer just in the moment and just said, "Lord, help me"? You know what? That's really what he wants us to do. And though you may want to give up on your marriage, there is a way back to love and respect for your husband because God is faithful. Your spouse may never change, yet there is hope. When you cry out to the Lord for help in respecting and submitting to your husband, he hears. He will provide the ability to obey his commands to you as a wife. The Lord will encourage you through the reading and the memorization of his word. He will keep his promises. We don't know what the end of the road looks like. Though our husband's heart may seem resilient and out of reach, we know from Matthew 19:26 that with God, all things are possible. In addition, the Lord can change our circumstances and even our own bitter hearts when we rely on him in humble dependence. It is a life we live in faith, trusting a God who is faithful. Issues for you to consider. This is a very difficult area to talk about. Some marriages are dangerous because there is abuse happening. It may even be your marriage. It has happened before in our body of believers to the point where the elders assisted a woman in leaving a dangerous situation, one that was life-threatening. Never give in to the physical abuse of another. Get help. Confide in someone you trust. It may be a friend at church. It may be a relative, one of the pastors, another godly woman. And then get to a place of safety. The goal is to protect your life. Our author gives a couple of examples from Scripture when preserving life was prioritized over preserving the institution. In 1 Samuel 21, 3 through 6, we find David asking Ahimelech, the priest, for bread to feed his men. Having no common bread on hand, David was given the holy bread, which was typically reserved only for the priest. And again in Matthew 12, 1 through 8, Jesus gives the example of David as an explanation for why he allowed the disciples to pluck the grain on the Sabbath, which was seen as doing work, and that was not allowed. In both instances, life was preserved. If you are in danger in your marriage, get help. Later, you can seek help as to how to preserve your marriage. Putting life-threatening situations aside, don't feel like you can never tell your husband your concerns that may be dragging down your relationship. Rather, the Lord gives the help and hope needed as you wait on him to work on your heart and on your husband's. And I will just say this, it seems like my favorite time to talk to my husband about issues was the week before my period. And I will just say, usually it was done with a lot of emotion and attacking him. And that is probably not the right time. And just ask the Lord, Lord, help me to wait on this. You know, it's amazing how your perspective can change in 1 week from my experience. So just a little aside. Respecting your husband in day-to-day life. What does respecting your husband look like in the day-to-day rhythm of life? Our author, Lisa Hughes, gives 7 snapshots of how to show loving respect. First, respect for your husband begins with love. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7 provides us with a picture of what love does in day-to-day life. As Lisa Hughes says, together those verses teach us that love is wholeheartedly patient when dealing with someone who is frustrating. Love is dedicated to kindness in the face of grouchiness. Love is committed to acting in a becoming manner. passionate in seeking the good of others, zealous in remaining unprovoked, even when others are being difficult. Love ardently works not to take into account a wrong suffered. Love fervently bears all things, intensely believes all things, eagerly hopes all things, devotes itself to enduring all things. And that's her paraphrase, but I really like her adjectives. They kind of bring out the meaning. If you love your husband like this, respect is sure to follow. Second, respecting your husband means that you treat him like a husband and not like a puppy. Don't make him second place in your home. Respect him as the leader. Third, respecting your husband means that you do his things first. I don't know how many times when I saw the clock going around and around, and it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and David had asked me to do something, and it's like, oh, I better get that done. But really, that should be the first thing that we do is take care of the things that he has asked. You have to keep in mind when you're serving your husband, you're serving God. Fourth, respecting your husband means giving God time to work on him. If he is a believer, you can be sure, as Paul was, that he who has begun a good work in your husband will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. The same is true for us. We're a work in progress. Fifth, respecting your husband means watching and guarding your thoughts about him. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. A gracious spirit towards your hubby begins with how you think about him, especially during times when your love needs to spread a blanket over his foibles and weaknesses. Six, respecting your husband means forgiving him, especially if you're feeling grumbly in your heart toward him. Consider the counsel of Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. The Lord has forgiven you, and in the same way, you must forgive your husband, even on those days when you find him difficult to get along with. And finally, respecting your husband is revealed in how you pray for him. Pray for him in the same way that you would want him to pray for you. And the Lord loves to answer our prayers, especially when we call out to him for help, as we see in Hebrews 4:16 and James 4:8. You can't do this on your own. Let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. This is a command for each of us that are married. On our own, we can't do it. We must rely on the Lord. I like this quote from our author. It's not a matter of making personal commitments to try harder, but to trust the Lord more consistently. How do we make that happen? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Peter encourages us with these words in 1 Peter 4:11. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength which God supplies. We respect our husbands by the strength that God supplies. What do we want the final outcome to be? The next part of verse 11 says, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Oh, wives, and all the rest of you who maybe aren't married, but you're listening in, may we serve our husbands by the strength God supplies, so that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.